Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
A shack of mystery to pick conspiracies, to curiosity. Spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur. Defy explanation, leave you wanting more. All my sightings, government denies. Take clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof. But we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
And it's time, once again, for the shack to happen. Welcome back to the shack.
Hello.
And I'm Wilbur. And you know what? On today's episode, we're going to reveal the truth. Peel back the layers of life and show you the secrets that make the world turn. Isn't that right, Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So what are we going to talk about today?
I was going to ask you.
I think we're going to talk about maybe like commercial farming.
Not exactly.
Okay.
I'm going to talk about pesticides.
Ah, which is used.
It is, but.
In mass.
Also, I just was driving by the college, ONU, and they were literally just spraying hundreds of gallons of pesticides on their grass. Where everybody sits and hangs out and eats.
Oh, wonderful.
So you ever walk through ONU, which is a high-end school, and you're like, man, the grass is all one color and one height, and there's nothing in it. It's because of this.
Oh, it's just because they're spraying everything that'll kill everything but the grass?
Mm-hmm. There's a special compound.
You mean, like, I'm sure the bugs and stuff are fine, right?
Yeah, there ain't no bugs.
Oh. What about all those ponds with the fish that, you know, everything drains into?
It's, all those... Just carp.
There's like three of those huge ponds in the middle of campus.
With the carp.
Yeah, there's just tons of carp in it.
Carp and largemouth bass.
If there's even any of those left anymore.
There's a bunch of largemouth bass in there.
Okay.
Ditch pickles. I've seen them in like New... I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. I've seen them in nuclear power plant runoff reservoirs.
And they're still living life to the fullest.
Basically glowing green and...
Yeah, just and happy.
And eating the goldfish.
Yeah, not good.
Now we're going to talk about how pesticides harm the environment and us.
Hmm.
So if you Google, just anybody at home, I highly suggest you do this as a thought exercise. Just Google, are pesticides bad? Do pesticides hurt people? Are pesticides harmful? And about the first 3 to 4 Google pages will be about the myths of pesticide and how they're bad.
The myths.
Yes, that they're not bad, that they're human safe and all this stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're tested. They're rigorously tested through the FDA.
Do you remember when all the eagles died from pesticides?
It was just relatively recent.
It was in our lifetime, yeah, the 90s.
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know if I remember specifically.
Was it DDT?
Yeah, DDT, yeah.
So they were spraying it in fields and stuff like anywhere. They're spraying it everywhere as a pesticide or a herbicide now. I don't remember off the top of my head. And it caused avian eggshells to become weaker.
Mm.
It actually caused a lot of other side effects that they never fully released. That was the noticeable one. So while smaller birds like robins and cardinals and such, it weren't as affected by that.
Okay.
Larger birds set on their eggs, such as eagles and vultures and stuff like that.
Sandhill cranes?
Yeah, were crushing their offspring on accident.
Just by sitting on their eggs.
Yeah, trying to keep warm.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're naturally designed to be extremely hard eggshells.
Right.
And that chemical was causing, with a myriad of other problems, was causing their eggshells to be extremely weak.
What do you mean? It was probably just a calcium deficiency. All the birds simultaneously were lagging.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
That was one of the few ones that actually got caught doing it. So they stopped using it. That's why eagles are bouncing back. And that's why everybody's like, we have a pretty fair eagle population now where we... have the shack out.
Yeah.
I just seen one the other day, like a new young one that was away from the family's nest.
Ooh, okay. It's nice seeing them. Yeah. I haven't seen the one around for, I guess this summer or this year. Yeah.
I've seen the pair.
Yeah. I mean, I will, because they always haunt our woods and stuff.
They fly up and down that creek constantly.
Yep.
But yeah.
No, there'll be a day where I'll catch him.
Yeah.
But you go up to northern Minnesota, up in the, where it's really remote, where I go fishing? Oh, my gosh.
Because the population never changed.
Absolutely,
the farther north you go, with the less agriculture and the less DDT.
Huh. Correlation.
Without causation.
That's right. No, I'm saying it's a good thing. Or it's a good sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it just is interesting to me that if you Google it or anything, you know, it's the big debunked myths, and I was reading through some of them, and they are absolutely ridiculous.
The myths?
Mm-hmm.
Gosh.
No, they're...
No, the myths that they're debunking,
they're saying, quote, unquote. There's no science for this. There's no science for this.
It's just like with the vaccines, you know, there was no trial data, one for the COVID shot, even though they said there was, but there was none. There's no science for this. And then there's no data about what happens when you mix multiple vaccines, as we do. And they say there's no side effects from the individual vaccines. There is data for that, some. But there's zero data for mixing them in the human body.
I agree.
And an infant that's just barely alive.
How pesticides harm the environment. In-depth analysis. Pesticides are designed to control unwanted organisms, like a gas chamber.
Oh, you said something earlier.
Oh, yeah. So it appears that Michigan has taken the formal stance that they will not be gas chambering because of the massive public outcry.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's the people outside the shack.
You know how many people thought that was a joke?
What?
That we made that up.
The gas chamber thing?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a joke.
Well, then they went and they're like, oh, that's real.
It's real.
Because it just seemed, it's such an asinine thing.
Oh, it very much so.
To build giant mobile gas chambers.
Because certain communities don't want them
geese
on their lakefront lawn or their golf courses. Mm-hmm. No, but you said something earlier too about pesticides and herbicides. What's the difference?
Oh, pesticides are designed to tackle a pest. Herbicides are a pest organism, like an animal.
Animal, so bug.
Bugs are animals,
right?
So yeah, bugs, rodents, reptiles, mammals.
To some degree. And I think they're beyond animals. They're just viruses.
What are you talking about?
Bugs. Some of them. Like those Japanese beetles.
Okay.
They're beyond bugs. They're worse than bugs.
They're just invasive.
Yeah, they're terrible. They're viruses.
Feed them to your chickens.
You can catch enough. Speaking of chickens.
Yeah, Wilbur's joined the chicken family.
No, Wilbur's got three right now.
Mm-hmm. Cavercores.
I think that's what, I don't know. Yeah, rare birds, right?
Yeah, there's only 500 of them in the U.S. and you have three of them.
Oh, gosh. Pressure's on. Pressure is on.
So, the pesticides are designated to control unwanted organisms that are the cornerstones of modern agriculture and public health. However, their widespread usage has a significant and damning impact on the environment. Beyond its intended target species, most of these chemical compounds can disrupt ecosystems, contaminate water sources, and harm non-target organisms, including beneficial insects, wildlife, and people.
Mm.
So yeah, we're going to dive into that.
All right, let's see what effects it has on people.
A cascading effect on ecosystems. So pesticides don't operate in a vacuum. So a lot of people, when they're talking about pesticides, like they're spraying on a farm field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not targeting farm fields in general, like just alone. It can be like the, like we're talking about the college is spraying on grass.
Right, their lawns.
And they think the second that that property line changes, it's not affecting the land right adjacent to it.
Right, yeah.
But that's how they operate. That's how these chemical companies and all that operate.
You're 100% right. Because all the farmers like that will farm beside us and spray their fields.
And like it doesn't blow into your yard.
Right. Well, all of our trees we had, they're all dead along the one side.
Where they were spraying the herbicides probably.
Yeah. It just decimated them. And my dad had to put up like around his garden and stuff. He had to put up like three rows of pine trees to try to save them a little bit. Yeah.
So they don't operate in a vacuum. They interact with a complex web of ecological relationships. These interactions often result in what's called a cascading effect of unintended consequences that can destabilize entire ecosystems.
Hmm.
So, more so than global warming, ecosystem destabilization is, I think, probably a more apt term for what's happening in the world.
I would agree with that a lot more.
Even because, first off, the world's not getting hotter, per se.
We're actually in a cooling period.
Did we talk about heat units a couple weeks ago with gardening? I think we did talk about heat units.
Yeah, I think so.
So the heat units roughly aren't changing, but their distribution is.
Okay.
Which, I mean, we can do a whole episode on that, heat units. It's just, it's a hard thing to explain. But when I went first degrees in agricultural business and sciences, and the heat units are very important for modern day agricultural systems.
Okay.
So we're like harvesting much later. So traditionally when like, let's say this 90-day corn, well, it takes 90 days to mature, but it needs X amount of heat units in that time frame. Well, it's not getting them, so now it's taking 100 days, or it's taking 110 days.
Okay.
So we're harvesting all the way in December. We're getting later true springs and later true winters.
Gotcha.
I mean, think about when we were kids, you'd never see a farm around December in a combine.
Oh, no. Heck no.
And it's regular now.
Hmm. I guess you're right. Guess I've seen it.
But no, it happens constantly.
No, I know.
Constantly. Yeah. It never happened when we were kids.
Oh, no, never.
The one time it did happen, we all made fun of him. I remember that.
Why? What'd he do?
He kept getting stuck because it was muddy. Oh. It was winter.
And he was trying to till?
No, he was trying to harvest.
Oh, okay.
He had to harvest or it was worthless.
Yeah, I guess so.
So cascading effect or ecosystem destabilization. So direct toxicity to non-target organisms. One of the most significant environmental impacts of pesticides is the toxicity to organisms that are not the intended targets. And I'll go through the whole list here in a second. But what do you think that means?
Hmm. To target... So
direct toxicity to non-target organisms.
Oh. So other things like that
spraying,
they're not...
Let's say you're spraying a cornfield
right.
for grasshoppers.
Sure. Now all the other bugs, animals, everything in there are also going to... be affected by that, is what you're saying, yeah. Everything is.
So pollinators are heavily affected by this.
Bees.
Bees, butterflies, and other pollinators are crucial for plant reproduction and ecosystem health as a whole. Many pesticides, particularly nanosynteroids, which are targeting insects, are highly toxic. to these beneficial insects, contributing to what's called our colony collapsal disorder and the significant decline in pollinators as a whole. This, in turn, impacts plant biodiversity and agricultural yields. So before I move on to other organisms, this is a huge one. People do not realize that. So if you take all the weight of all the animals on this planet,
okay,
let's do land. 75% of all animal weight would be in insects.
Okay. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big chunk.
Not even the numbers. I mean, we're not talking about how many millions of ants there is for every human walking around.
Right.
Just the actual pure poundage. Yeah, 75% of the biomass of animals on the planet is insects.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Big chunk.
So when we are having some of these 40% declines, 50% declines, 70% declines, that's billions and billions of pounds of biomass disappearing.
Billions and billions.
Also, the pollinating, whole species of plants are disappearing because their pollinators are disappearing. So it's that, you know, combination of ties they work in together.
Yeah, but we're saving this field corn.
Yeah. Well, they're having so many problems with this in the South specifically right now.
Uh-huh.
They've actually made an artificial pollinating machine.
I've seen that with the little feathers and stuff on them. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah. Instead of fixing the problem.
Yeah. Well, just put a Band-Aid on it.
Mm-hmm.
Kick the can down the road.
Yeah.
Technology's great.
And it highly, obviously, you know, most of the stuff needs pollinated. Almost everything we eat needs pollinated,
mm-hmm.
or is an animal. If it's not an animal, it needs some kind of pollination to continue.
Right.
Excuse me. Next bad one is beneficial insects. Predators and pesteroids that naturally control pest populations are often basically decimated by pesticides. This distribution of natural balance can lead to a pest resurgences, requiring even more pesticide application. So this negative feedback loop starts occurring.
Right, because where you need more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they build up, the pest will build up immunity eventually, and then they'll bounce back because there's nothing else in them. So you remember corn spiders? The giant black and yellow spiders?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yep.
Yeah. So when we were kids, they're
everywhere. Of them. Yep.
I haven't seen one in probably a decade.
It's been a while. Actually, I did see one. I took a picture of it last year in our garden, remember?
But, yeah.
And that was, but that's the first one I've seen in.
So I believe in Ohio, their population's been knocked down by about 90%.
That nuts
because of pesticides.
It's just so different from when we were kids, and when we were kids it's not that long ago.
No,
that's the crazy 20 thing
years.
It's nuts.
So they've had a 90% population reduction very quickly.
Yeah.
And they're one of the biggest pest species eaters in fields in agricultural systems.
Those spiders
were because they make massive webs in between the corn rows.
Oh yeah, I've run into them before.
There'll be thousands of bugs stuck in one of them.
Oof. Yeah, let's just get rid of them all and have a synthetic, sterile world with no bugs and nothing in it, not even plants.
Birds and wildlife are the next one. Birds, amphibians, fish, and other wildlife are poisoned directly through ingestion of pesticide-treated seeds and their contaminated prey sources. Exposure can lead to reproductive problems, weakened immune systems, death, contributing to declines in population numbers of many species in North America specifically.
Oh, please. I mean, where's this? That's a myth. That's got to be on one of the myths you were referring to.
So I was, we've talked about this before. Like, I don't care if you're vegan or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Like, more power to you, whether you choose that kind of lifestyle for either health or compassion reasons. I was vegetarian for a large chunk of my life. Probably about a little less than a third of my life, I was a vegetarian.
Because you couldn't eat meat, or why?
Because I didn't want to eat meat.
You didn't want to harm the animals.
And then I raised meat chickens, and then I started eating meat again.
Yeah.
I hated them so much.
Oh, you hated the meat chickens?
Mm-hmm.
So it helped.
No, I didn't hate them. It just was different. Anyways, I kind of forgot where I was going with that.
What we were talking about?
Oh no, veganism.
Yeah, the spray in the fields, and yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of the most effective ways to kill the most. Because the plants that like make tofu and stuff like that, and soy products and all that stuff, you kill millions of animals in 100 acres.
Just
to produce it.
Animal-less food source.
Yeah.
You're literally going animal-less. You're killing them all.
All I'm saying by that comment is don't just care for the cute ones.
Right, yeah.
I think that's probably been one of my biggest pet peeves with the veganism movement, not veganism, like people, but the movement as a whole,
right,
is that it seems like we're only caring about the cute ones, like cows and pigs and stuff like that, when all the gardener snakes and all the voles and, you know, all this stuff are just being...
You ever seen that billboard? It's like, where do you draw the line between
the PETA thing?
Yeah.
And it's, most people have started at the horse.
Yeah.
It says normal day, apocalypse, and it ends at the dog.
Right. Yeah. But I was thinking, I mean, why don't they take that further? Why don't they show all the bugs on that sign? Where do you draw the line? Because you're killing all them too.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I worked with animals that got no love because it would be traditionally considered ugly.
Right. Why wouldn't PETA, why aren't they out there protesting, you know, these pesticide companies for killing?
Well, I do think PETA's a bad company.
Me too. But this is a highlight as to how, you know, they're full of it. Mm-hmm. They're fake. They don't care. They're just making a stink to, I don't know, probably raise money for themselves, but.
No, I think there's plenty of people in the PETA organization that actually do care.
Yes, I'm not talking about them, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the organization itself. The main, their purpose at the higher-ups, the people running it, I guess, the board, they probably are just a big board. It's just there to make money. Yeah, if they were serious, they'd have done, already been protesting these pesticides that are just decimating the, I guess, animal population. Not the furry ones and not just the cute ones, you say. All the bugs, all the spiders. All the good, I don't know, like you said, all the good stuff we need for our environment to help our plants to grow, to help the other animals be supported and live life healthy and full.
So yeah, voles, snakes, birds of prey, all of that suffer directly from pesticide spraying. And then probably the biggest silent genocide in the agricultural and industrial scenes is soil microorganisms.
The unseen.
So they're supposed to be more living than unliving matter in what's called topsoil.
Okay.
Which is the first couple layers of dirt. So the soil is teeming with beneficial bacteria, fungi, and other microorganisms that are essential for the nutrient cycling system and soil health as a whole. Pesticides can disrupt this micro community, reducing soil fertility and affecting plant growth.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Let's just spray them all. Let's spray them all. All the microorganisms. It's just, you know, they're dirty. We don't need them. They'll get you dirty.
Yeah, just everybody at home, keep in mind, if you take all the cells in your size of your body, more of the cells aren't you than are you.
Ooh. Do we got any pesticides for that?
They do.
I think DuPont has one.
That's like antibiotics ruin your gut biome.
Right,
I'm not saying antibiotics are bad in certain situations. I think we are in a over-prescription of antibiotics as a country.
Gosh.
Because of that fear, that freak out. But I do think they're essential. But I highly recommend anybody, if you do take antibiotics, come back around with probiotics for your gut biome specifically.
Mm-hmm. Gut biome is very, very important.
Yeah, and you got organisms in your blood that are supposed to be there. Organisms on your skin that are supposed to be there and everything. Not every microorganism is bad. And that kind of... I don't know if it's intentional or not, but, you know, you watch Germ-X commercials or anything like that. And they,
kills 99.9%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of what is it, harmful bacteria is what it says.
What's that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It also kills 99.9% of good bacteria, too.
No, so. 100% of those guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that 0.1% is leaving. It's going to probably kill you because all the good stuff's gone.
Yeah. Food web disruptions. Pesticides also disrupt food webs by eliminating what are called key species or keystone species, introducing toxins into the system. When a primary food source is contaminated and or eliminated, the effects ripple upwards and downwards through the food chain system. So for example, bioaccumulation and biomagnification. So I'll give you a real quick definition of those two things. Bioaccumulation is animals, predators, mostly higher up the food chain, accumulate more toxins because they're eating many small animals that have each have a little bit of toxin. And then biomagnification is kind of the same thing, but talking about it the other way.
The other way down.
The higher up you go, many pesticides are presented as organic pollutants that accumulate in tissues, organisms. As predators consume contaminated prey, the pesticides concentrates becoming magnified in their bodies, a process known as biomagnification. This can lead to the dangerously high levels of toxins in top predators, such as birds of prey, resulting in complete population decline and even reproductive failures, or rendering species functionally extinct.
No way. They would never. So how would that be allowed?
One species I worked with was the big mouth buffalo and the black buffalo, which are fish species.
Yeah.
The oldest living fish in Ohio.
Wow.
Is the black buffalo.
Ooh. Fun fact.
Yeah. And they're massive. And there's a big fear that they're actually functionally extinct because they're so long lived and they grow really slow. So what people look at as little ones or babies are actually like 30-year-old fish.
Wow.
So there's a big worry that we're not replenishing that population. And they're a keystone species.
You think we're not? Of course we're not.
So there's a big fear that they maybe have some genetic problem that's going on that we don't know about until it's too late because of slow reproductibility.
Right, yeah.
And long life scale. So we're not seeing them disappear from areas because it's the same one that's been swimming there for 100 years.
Right, yeah. We're just got no new ones.
Yeah, they're just not renewing them. So when they start dropping dead, they'll happen then. Loss of keystone species. When pesticides disproportionately affect keystone species, those play in critical roles in maintaining the structure and function of an ecosystem. An entire ecosystem can be destabilized by the loss of one species.
Mm-hmm.
For the example, the loss of a keystone predator, for instance, can lead to an overabundance of prey and a complete decline in biodiversity.
Wow.
This is the problem with, like, here's a weird one for you. Ponds that only have largemouth bass and bluegill, why they get stunted, why they all end up at one size, why they overeat all the food. It's because there's no predators cleaning them out. Largemouth bass are not an apex predator. So they all get stuck in this negative feedback loop system. So with this, let's say you kill all the red-tailed hawks, field mice will explode.
Right.
Or you kill all the rat snakes, you know, wood rats would explode and that kind of stuff. So they'll wipe out their food sources.
Right.
And that'll kill off tons of other species. So
a domino effect, snowball.
Yeah. That's what 100%.
So definitely dumping chemicals in mass on things. I'm sure there's not many negative side effects.
There's none.
Or none at all, yeah.
None at all. You're fine. Drink it.
Right, yeah. Might as well.
That's what I'd be like.
Yeah.
Drink it.
Be like,
it's not bad, huh?
Yeah.
Here's a cup of glyphosate.
It's like when they drink when the president.
Flint water.
Drank the Flint water. And this ain't a stunt. This ain't a stunt. Puts glass to lips. Does not take a drink. Good, clean, fresh water.
And they could have just poured bottled water. And I don't even know why they did that whole charade.
So he could not, he could claim.
Say it without lying. I get it.
Yeah. He could claim that it's fine and the government doesn't actually have to fix the problems.
Yeah, because there's nobody fixed their pipes.
No, never did.
Alterations in plant communities is the next one we're going to talk about. Beyond direct toxicity to animals, pesticides can also alter plant communities, leading to long-term and irreversible environmental changes. Weed resistances is a big one. The overuse of herbicides, for example, have led to the development of herbicide-resistant weeds. That necessitates the use of more potent and more effective and more environmentally harmful herbicides. That's same thing that we talked about with animals happening in plants.
Right.
That they just keep coming back harder and harder and harder because they're going to adapt.
Right. They're going to fight. They're going to figure out a way.
Mm-hmm. Shift in plant competition. By eliminating certain plant species, herbicides can promote the growth of less desirable plants. This can reduce habitat diversity and affect the organisms that rely on those plants for food and shelter. And then overall reduce in biodiversity. A shift in plant communities can reduce an overall shift in biodiversity by creating a more homogeneous landscape, which is less resilient to environmental changes and more frequent diseases.
We got to know that this is going to cause problems. Like
this is the problems we know about.
I mean, but like long term, how do we not realize this is not sustainable?
Because same thing we've talked about with the food systems this year. Is that most humans have a huge disconnect with their food systems.
Yeah, where you get it, where it comes from.
I kid you not, over the weekend, I literally heard somebody talking about how farming was useless because they can go to the grocery store and get everything they need.
My gosh.
I kid you not. And they were dead serious. They weren't joking. It was a college girl talking about that.
Was it somebody you actually know?
No.
Or did you hear it online?
No, I was there.
You were in person. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
There's a group of college girls at the local grocery store.
My gosh.
Talking about how wrong it is to farm cattle. why do they need to kill their cows? They can come here and get stuff.
Well, maybe just for the sake of humanity, let's hope they were all not joking.
They were not joking.
They're doing a big bit.
They had about 8 brand sales between these 3 girls.
Gosh. I'm just going to hope it's a bit.
They think like they make the plants in the back. Like there's a guy making zucchini back there.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
The best piece of financial advice I've ever received is to pay yourself first. That's why now with every paycheck I receive, I start by putting a little bit away for those rainy days. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns recommends a diversified portfolio that can help you weather all of the market's ups and downs. Using Acorns, before I knew it, I had a couple $1,000s in a little nest egg account. Sign up now and join the over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/heartbreak or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/heartbreak.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint or stain project, saving is at the top of your to-do list. Save now with buy one, get one half off select paints, stains, and primers from top brands like Valspar, HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams, and Cabot via Visa gift card rebate. Find more Memorial Day deals now at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 5/15 through 5/28.
Well, yeah, you don't see him wheel it out in the cart? Of course, he just picked it.
No, he makes it like, he takes dough and he forms a zucchini.
I just thought maybe you were thinking there's a garden back there. Or they were thinking, you know.
No.
All the produce comes from the garden in the back of the grocery store.
Yeah.
What do we need to farm for? The grocery stores have their own gardens. Look, here's all the food here.
And, yeah.
If that's only that's how it worked.
Gosh, yeah.
I know like one organic grocery store, like where they actually, it's like a little farm. They have their own little farm, but it's a grocery store. They still bring in stuff, but all their like produce, everything is made right, is grown right there.
I mean, you stopped that one when we went and got chairs in Mechanicsburg.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Well, that was Amish community, too. Mennonite community. Mix of both, maybe,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it was Mennonite owners.
Right.
It was a greenhouse / grocery store with local goods.
I did forget about that one. That was a good one. That was cool. Far in between.
Mechanics, I don't remember the name of it.
I know two of them.
It was right outside of Mechanicsburg.
Mm-hmm.
So water contamination, a grave concern, is the next thing we're going to talk about. It's bad. I do think, I know you don't like him, but one of the huge financial guys that's super mean...
From what? From the shark?
No. He is another billionaire, but he's famous. He teaches classes, and he just yells, and he's mean to people.
I'm not sure.
Anyways, he's a big proponent that the next war won't be Bitcoin, won't be any of that. It'll be water.
Right. Things that actually exist.
Yeah, tangible. Mm-hmm. Tangible things. Because only 3% of surface water is fresh water. I think less than 1% of that is drinkable.
Wow. Then where do we get all this like drinking water from?
That's still a massive amount of water.
Oh yeah, it is. But I'm just asking, We got a lot of it that goes around.
Mostly South American countries that Nestle just takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, that CEO of Nestle said water's not a human right.
He did say that, and he is now the leader of the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
The new leader.
Fits. Anyways, water contamination. The movement of pesticides through the environment often results in water contamination, posing a serious risk to aquatic ecosystems and human health. So runoff and leaching. Pesticides can enter the water bodies through several routes. Surface runoff. When rain or irrigation flowing water over treated fields, it carries these pesticides into streams, rivers, and lakes. The runoff can contaminate extremely large areas and have widespread impact on aquatic life.
Mm.
Literally, we call it point source pollution.
You don't say, huh? Point source, like where it's coming from, like where the runoff.
But, yeah, I've seen point source pollution kill 11 or 20 miles of river. Actually, I can show you one where I can show you where it just looks like a little creek coming in, and it's so toxic from industrial runoff that there's 18 miles of river that's affected directly.
Downstream from that?
Yeah.
Point? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
And leaching is another one, and this is the one that's directly more harmful to human health.
Okay.
At least directly. Leaching pesticides can be leached through the soil and enter the groundwater aquifers. This is a particular concern with that presents a highly soluble pesticides, as they can contaminate water sources used for drinking and irrigation. And they can just happen, and you won't know. Remember when we talked about dark water?
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
All the cows are dying. We didn't kill your cows.
No.
And, I mean, keep in mind, the same companies, right? Monsanto, DuPont, Cargill. Well, I don't know about Cargill.
What do you mean?
If they sell pesticides.
Sorry. I think someone sprayed some pesticides up my nose. Yeah. Maybe it's in the windows of the shack.
So some impact on aquatic life. We have our fish kills. I've seen many a fish kill from this kind of stuff. Many pesticides are highly toxic to fish and or aquatic organisms. Spills or runoff events can lead to large-scale fish kills, dramatically disturbing the balance of the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
Disruption of food webs. Pesticides can affect smaller organisms such as insects, crustaceans, and plankton, which are the base of these aquatic food systems. The loss or the decline of these organisms can ripple up the food chain, affecting large populations and other predators. Altered water quality is another big one. Pesticides can alter the chemistry in the impact of the nutrient cycling. For example, some pesticides can promote the growth of harmful algae blooms, such as Lake St. Mary's.
Ah, nice.
Which depleted oxygen levels and can harm aquatic and terrestrial life by producing toxins.
So it's just a big snowballing problem.
Yeah. And then reproductive problems. Exposure to certain pesticides can cause reproductive problems in fish, aquatic organisms, as well as mammals.
What about amphibians like frogs?
They all died on step one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they can turn the frogs gay.
Oh, that's what I was getting at.
Yes. Okay. If they don't explode.
They got to get past that point.
Yeah. This can lead to a reduction in population and long-term decline in biodiversity.
Gosh. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Like, it affects every, basically all your, what you're getting at is it affects every single.
I haven't even got to humans and carcinogens
yet. Right, yeah. Well, I mean, beyond that, but just in the natural, if we didn't exist, let's just say humans didn't, but these pesticides are killing and affecting every single corner of everything they're touching.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was wonderful. We're just good practices.
So some human health risk. Contaminated water poses a significant risk to human health. Drinking water contamination. Pesticides can contaminate drinking water sources, particularly in rural areas that rely on wells. Exposure to low levels of pesticides can cause chronic health issues and are potential carcinogens. Now we have to say potential carcinogens because nobody's done the research.
Right, it's just a myth.
It melts animals.
That don't mean nothing.
But I know fish and weights cause cancer in the state of California, so I'm going to venture a guess.
Yep.
That these are slightly more toxic than fishing weights.
Well, I mean,
I guess it may be not if you swallowed 500 pounds of fishing weights.
Right, yeah, see?
And then food chain contamination. Pesticides can accumulate in fish and seafood. Consumption of contaminated seafood can expose humans to extreme toxins, leading to both acute and long-term health issues.
This is I don't want to say this is a depressing episode, but it kind of is. This is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think it's even worse too, just because I know we live in it. Like, you can't, you take one step out of town in every farm field.
I take a lot of pride that I have the most biodiverse backyard. And I'm talking about the plants I put there. I'm talking about the plants that just occur. Because I have deadhead nettle. I have, like, there's goose foot back there, which I don't even know how it got back there.
It found its way.
Yeah, but I have a whole bunch of goose foot.
What's goose foot?
Just what people would consider a weed.
Yeah.
But it's just, there's a whole bunch of back there. I at least got 14 or 15 species in with my quote-unquote grass.
Nice.
And plus probably 4 or 5 species of grass.
Yeah. All right. Good deal. Well, good. Not one chemical is going to touch back there.
Gosh, no. The only reason, because I'm not going to mow it at all this year. The only reason I mow the front yard is so I don't get a fine.
Right, yeah. It's unsightly.
Mm-hmm.
You have too many flowers. It's bothering the neighbors that never complained once.
My neighbors don't care.
That's what I'm saying. But you know how that's how other people are.
I'm sorry you pulled out in front of a cop.
Yeah. The flower boxes are
the wrong way down the alley.
Ma'am, it's 10 feet back and you're going the wrong way. But it's flowers.
Soil degradation and air pollution. Oh, by the way, did you see? I'm really worried. So even though we've gotten a lot of rain this spring, the ground is still extremely dry.
Uh-huh.
Because we're like in water debt, essentially.
Okay.
So it's just really hard to catch up.
Right.
And we are getting a vast amounts of water in one day instead of, it'd be better for it to lightly rain for a week.
I wonder if they drilled like tunnels under us and it's draining.
Okay. Are you being silly or are you being real?
Both.
Because you know it's happened, right?
What?
Tiling. Irrigation on farm fields did this.
Oh, I do know about that, yeah.
So they paid, not paid, they, in the 80s or through the early 2000s, there was this huge push to tile your fields. U.S. government and the state governments were really pushing you to tile your fields for bigger agricultural stuff, and there's no real evidence that it did it.
Mm.
The only thing it did is wreck the water system.
Mm-hmm. That made sense. It drained it all out into the rivers faster.
Instantly. Instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly. That's why all this flooding and stuff happened. And they straightened the rivers because, like, that'll fix it, and it made it 100 times worse.
Right, yeah.
But there's no water refuge then. When it hits max, it's over.
Right. No, yeah.
No, so... Yeah, they did that. Yeah, they put billions of miles of tunnels underneath the soil here in Ohio. The drain.
Hmm. Well, there we go. Question answered.
Tiles.
Is that a myth, though?
What?
That the tiling is just, you know, draining the water too fast and wrecking the water table? And that's just a myth.
I know farmers that are ripping it out.
Oh, yeah?
And it's about 3 times as much to pull out than it is to put in.
Oh, my gosh. You can't just tie a rope to it and pull your tractor. I'm joking. I know, but you know how people think. Someone's going to think that.
I mean, it'd probably work for the first, like, 4 feet of it.
Yeah, maybe. Until it rips and tears That's out what I'm saying. From
it's
the
gonna,
rope.
It's going to tear. Well, the tile's going to probably rip before. That's
where it's tied onto the rope. Yeah. Rip it from that point. 0 point.
I guess if it's, like, if you use an industrial corrugated pipe, which I know a lot of people use for where all their tiles meet, they actually have a big, like, corrugated pipe section that they can put something to blast their tiles out if they fill up with dirt.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it's also draining all the topsoil away.
Mm, nice.
Oh, so I was telling you, the Dust Bowl, because we're hitting that point where we're not getting enough water long-term. First time in a long time, I started seeing... A day after it rained, the fields around us were blowing so much dust.
Mm.
You know what that dust is, right?
Dry dirt.
Specifically, it's topsoil.
Oh, well, yeah.
An extremely valuable resource.
Oh, yeah.
And it's disappearing. We're literally watching it blow. And it was the day after it rained.
Ooh, that's not good.
The road was still wet in spots, and the ground was so dry that it was when the wind was blowing, it was taking it away. That's one of the big things that happened with the Dust Bowl. Is we lost, like, I can't remember. I'd have to look it actually up again. But, like, 5 or 6 inches of topsoil in some places they lost in a year.
Dang.
So it was, what soil was left was, like, barren. Because all the, like, nutrient breakdown and organic matter, that part of the soil was gone.
Well, now we just spray it all with pesticides, so it doesn't even matter what's, if it blows away or not.
Well, that's why you have to put so much ammonia and anhydrous.
Yeah, to make up for it, because all that stuff's dead and gone.
Mm-hmm. Soil degradation and air pollution. So impacts soil health reduces soil fertility. Soil microorganisms play a critical role in the nutrient cycling system. The loss of these organic organisms reduce soil fertility and require the use of more synthetic fertilizers, which further add to the environmental problems. Soil erosion. Pesticides can reduce soil stability and increase the subsequent states of erosion. This can lead to the loss of valuable topsoil and contaminate bodies of water. And impaired water retention. The disruption of the soil structure by pesticides can reduce the soil's ability to retain water, leading to the increase of water runoff and decrease in infiltration.
Mm.
So all those things.
All those things.
That we were just kind of talking about.
Yes. Oh, yeah. All right. Let's just skip.
One more for you.
All right.
And then we'll talk about good things. How we can kind of start combating this.
Yeah.
The air pollution with pesticides. Spray drift. Pesticide sprays, which are what a lot of us do this part of the country, can lead to extreme spray drifts, where chemicals are carried on the wind to unintended areas. This contaminates nearby habitats, crops, waters, and homes. And volatilization. Some pesticides can become volatilized, meaning they turn into a gas and are carried into the air. This can lead to air pollution, exposure to pesticides to both wildlife and humans. Mm. There's actually some thoughts that there's cancer and deaths have been related to pesticides, but can't be proven because of volatilization.
Myth.
Radon mitigation system.
Huh?
Do you have a radon mitigation system in your guys' basement?
No, but you told me about.
You probably should get one.
But shoot.
Silent odorless, you just get a headache and then you die.
Yeah. Live there this long. I mean,
it explains a lot.
It's whatever it is.
So how can we mitigate the harm? So integrated pest management situation. So integrated pest management strategies combine biological, cultural, and mechanical methods of pest control, minimizing the need for chemical pesticides.
Minimizing the needs, huh?
Yeah, at this point, you can't just stop doing it, for at least commercial farming.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be a step-down process.
Right. Wean off it.
Yeah, you're going to have to, because you can't, if you just stop it, the stuff that is extremely pesticide resilient will just dominate everything instantly. Yeah.
Well, won't something have to fill? Something will fill in and kill all that stuff, right? Like naturally,
eventually. But we got to eat between then and now,
right? Yeah. Well, that's why we talk about getting prepared in the shack. The shack will get you quail.
So, true organic farming practices. So, organic farming practices avoid the use of synthetic pesticides, promoting biodiversity and soil health.
Good.
And it depends on what kind of pest you're having in your and what crops you're farming.
Right.
But I've seen everything from like sparrow boxes to literally making frog ponds or putting little frog ditches in the fields.
Or that kid who put 10 million frog eggs in his backyard.
Yeah. So in some parts of China, they actually do use crabs.
I've seen that in the rice fields.
Yeah, because it eats all the pests and eats all the waste.
And then they
eat the crabs.
Yeah, then they farm the crabs after.
Mm-hmm.
That's an awesome idea. I would love to do that.
I know that in the rice fields, they also put, I think, tilapia too.
Oh, wow.
The same thing.
Huh.
So there are ways. Mm-hmm. It's just, you got to get creative in some of this.
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's just hard for the industrial system to catch up.
No, yeah, it's almost impossible. It's just the way we're doing things now or have been doing for such a long time. You're going to switch to a organic, natural way. It's going to have to be scaled down so much. It would not be able to function the way it does now.
Next one is regulations and enforcement. Strong regulations and strict environmental enforcements are essential to prevent the misuse of pesticides and protect valuable ecosystems. So some states like Ohio have pretty decent ones. For these kind of things, like you're not supposed to, and you can get a very big fine. Spray pesticides or fertilizers on fields. I think it's 24 hours before like a 60% chance of rain in your direct area.
Oh, really?
It's special. I may have got the numbers all wrong on that.
Yeah.
But there's rules to that.
How do you police that?
If you get caught, it's a $10,000 fine a day per infraction.
Hmm.
So if it's two creeks your field runs into, that's two infractions. That's $20,000 per day.
Wow.
So it can add up extremely quick.
Right, yeah.
And if you rat on a person, I believe you get $2,500 of it a day.
So there's an incentive.
There's a high incentive.
Oh, gosh. Which I guess I'm not opposed to that, but how about we just stop spraying everything?
Because the only time I ever turned anybody in that I wasn't being employed, I did not take any money.
Mm.
Because they completely killed one of my favorite minnow fishing spots.
Ah.
I've told you about that.
Yes, you did.
Farmer dumping all of his rotten corn in a creek where nobody could see.
Yeah.
It was way back behind. And I went to my spot and I'm like, where's all the fish? And the water smelled like ethanol.
Yeah.
And everything was dead. It was a massive fish kill.
Yeah.
And it was directly dumping into a big river, and the authorities got alerted. And I know he was out there the next like 10 hours out there scraping it out of the ditch.
Oh, gosh. I mean, and you just don't think about that stuff either.
Oh, he knew what he did because he picked a spot where nobody could see it.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess you don't think of the effects that's going to lead to.
He didn't care.
Right. Well, I mean,
he just didn't want to have to pay to get it removed.
Right. Yeah.
And then he cared once
he had to pay to remove it himself
and then pay the fine. Research and innovation, investing in research and development of more sustainable, environmental friendly pest management strategies are crucial. This includes the development of biopesticides and non-chemical methods.
No, that's it.
So like pepper, we talked about that black pepper seed. You crush that, pour it on a field. It's a natural insecticide.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really don't want insects on your field, you can use black crushed peppercorns essentially to keep some pest away.
Right. Yeah.
So there is stuff like using dehydrated Carolina Reapers on your strawberry plants to keep squirrels out of them.
Hmm. Little tricks like that. Did it work?
Yeah. I think the one exploded.
Good. We need more exploding squirrels in this town.
I told you my uncle did that to a bear, right?
Exploded a bear?
So he lives in Florida, and he was having a lot of problems with raccoons getting his trash cans, like putting the trash everywhere all over his yard.
Yeah.
And he was tired of it, so my brother told him to put a bunch of cayenne pepper in it. Raccoons have extremely sensitive noses, so he sticks his nose in there, smells it, he's not ever going to come back. It burns. He did it, and then the next morning, he woke up, and there was police cars all on their little cul-de-sac. And he went outside, and the neighbor had said some drunk had, like, busted two massive holes through her fence and everything like that. And the police were investigating it. Then they found footage of it. It was a bear.
Oh, wow.
But what was getting into his trash was a big black bear.
Oh,
and it sniffed. And they found that on video. This big black bear got a whole nose full of cayenne pepper and ran a straight line back to its den. Cartoon style.
I bet he never came back.
No.
It worked.
Cartoon style.
Right through the fence.
He's like, if I'd have known it was a bear, I'd never done that. I thought it was raccoons.
Yeah. Oops.
And then public awareness and education is a huge part of this.
Yes.
Raising awareness among the public about environmental impacts of pesticides and promoting more stable practices is virtual to creating change.
And that's where we come in, and that's where you come in at home. This is what this show and this episode is all about.
Yeah, this isn't, I wasn't trying to be a doom and gloom.
No.
But it's the reality.
Yeah, that we live in.
And that we need to take care of.
This is life outside our houses, what's going on in the fields.
Where we live.
They're spraying everything, literally where we live. And I mean, I guess outside of the city, like outside, this is what's going on in all the farm fields, all of them. I mean, you know, 95% of all the commercial ones, as far as I'm concerned, all the big ones, all the ones that are taking up all the space that haven't already sold out to the solar farms, they're spraying everything. And we just got to be aware that it's not the healthiest thing for us or for nature. Like you said, nature destabilization is, I think, the biggest key to change for all this stuff for the negative. And then I think that's all it's doing. It's destabilizing it.
Environmental destabilization.
Yeah. It's all it's doing. And it's not like most of that food we don't eat. We don't consume it at all. It's not for us, but it's wrecking our homes we live in just to make it and produce it. And, you know, I don't fault the farmers because this is what they were taught to do. This is what they were have access to do. And if they don't do it, all this stuff's going to die because all this stuff, in order to grow, basically it needs that relationship with the pesticides now. Roundup Ready corn. It's its own strain of corn. It's called Roundup Ready corn.
Which we may do a whole episode on that. Because that Roundup Ready corn is genetically modified to withstand, not so how it kind of works, is a little short thing.
Uh-huh.
How it kind of works is that it is bred to not uptake those chemicals. So it has biological sensors when it, because it does that naturally, right? It picks, like, I want to take this and I don't want to take this.
Right.
So they added Roundup. Basically, I don't take in Roundup.
Right.
But there's also ones that have been added that cause the in food sources and stuff that we eat or stuff we eat that eats food sources for our food.
Right.
Animals.
Right.
There are these compounds that have been bred into those seeds that cause insects' guts to explode.
Hmm.
And I've normally been like a little dramatic with the exploding of some things.
Yeah.
This is not. It literally causes their guts to build up and explode, and those are going into your guts.
Wonderful. That's and why don't they talk about that when they're doing these fields when they're spraying them? Why don't they ever talk about that? Why ain't the news ever talking about this? Why ain't there any public outcry with any sort of media when it comes to our food and being healthy? Why isn't this being addressed at all? Why isn't... I just don't understand how we've let this go on for so long. But it's not just this. It's everything with our lives that we let technology and corporations just take over. And we sacrifice so much through the comfort and just things like that and convenience. Comfort and convenience. And we don't need it. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the legal. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mills hold a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.